Our record number of five scripture readings today are all snippets that speak to the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, beginning with recognizing what the Holy Spirit gave us is based upon the attributes of God, praying for our own lives to reflect those attributes, to seeing them in Jesus, we end with a reminder to live out the fruit of Spirit. The first reading is Exodus 33:17-19. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and you will proclaim you the name the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I show mercy. 2 Corinthians 6:40-42. Now, O my God, let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to prayer from this place. Now rise up, O Lord God, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your faithful rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember your steadfast love for your servant David. Nehemiah 9:16-21. But they, our ancestors, asked presumptuously and stiffened their necks and did not obey your commandments. They refused to obey and were not mindful of the wonders that you performed among them. But they stiffened their necks and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And you did not forsake them, even when they cast an image of a calf for themselves and said, this is your God who brought us out of Egypt and committed great blasphemies. You, in your great mercies, did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud that led them in the way did not leave them by day, nor the pillar of fire by night that gave them light on the way by which they should go. You gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouths and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 2 Timothy 2:22-25. Shun youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with stupid and senseless controversies. You know that they breed quarrels, and the Lord's servants must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, apt teacher, patient, correcting opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they repent and will come to know the truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jeff. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I just couldn't get that out of my head every time I looked at this list of the fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about, right? Not exactly Jerry Lee Lewis, but instead Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This morning we said, God of grace, we have come for a glimpse of your kingdom of kindness. We shared those words in our morning prayer, our gathering prayer. We opened ourselves up with that prayer to be inspired into participating into acts of charity and generosity. We acknowledged through that prayer that God is loving and gracious, and we prayed that we would not only keep awareness to the transforming power of the Holy, but also that we may give our lives to the one that transforms. Did you know you said all that? Yeah. The challenge with corporate prayer, sometimes ideas get shared that we aren't quite ready for, because that is a lot. That is a lot. And with God's help, may it be so. The fruit of the Spirit is a precious gift. We've talked about not nine gifts, but one gift in one that's been kind of wrapped up or encased in the gift of love. And that the fruit of the Spirit and the love that's within that never ends, because love is the greatest gift. Today we're looking at those next three attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. You sang them earlier: kindness, goodness, and gentleness. Those are the three words that we heard in the song. Now, here's the thing. Some Bible translations offer the word generosity in place of the word goodness. And it stumped me. As I had multiple Bibles laying out before me, I was feeling challenged. Because I asked Tressie to recreate this image that you see on the screen and fix over here the word goodness into the word generosity. You can't even tell she did it, can you? She's an artist. And then, after I had her do that and we published it the first week, I said, but the word's supposed to be goodness. And she said, you told me generosity. So I tapped a friend. What do they say? You phone a friend, right? Well, I sent a text and I said, Becky, what are you doing to me? And she said, the Greek word that starts for both goodness and generosity has connotations of both. Why don't you think about how goodness and generosity might be synonyms? Ooh. I'll invite you to do that. Think about how goodness and generosity might be synonyms. Now, the first week we considered love and loyalty and God's firm commitment to us, the humans that God created. And we discussed joy and peace and their attributes last week, and how that moves us forward, how it's a force within us and around us. And sometimes that force is to be still in God's peace. But this week, we move on to the attributes that are not only for self, but perhaps are best received by others, more often received by others. Kindness. Boy, we've heard that word a lot lately, haven't we? I think that I even have a t-shirt with the catchphrase, be kind, right? It seems to be the theme of our time. In fact, Kindness Day has replaced Valentine's Day at many schools. I hear parents saying, remember, be kind, or show kindness as their kid is getting on the field for a match. That's a long ways from where I was as a kid, right? Where they'd say, go get 'em. Yeah. Be kind. No, kick the ball. Yeah. But what does it mean for us to show kindness or to display goodness? I dare say that Paul tells us, as he did to the people he was writing to, that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, those weren't his words, but he firmly believed in and reiterated the words of Jesus, that the second most important commandment that we are to follow is to love others as we love ourselves, only after we love God. Now, we're told in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, that God created us in God's image, and in the image of God, humans were created. If we were created in the image of God, mirroring the traits of God makes sense. As humans, we may have fallen away, turned away, or ran away from God at times. But if we were created as reflections of the likeness of God, then all of that movement does not dissipate when we have left God. Those traits of the living God, we still embody them wherever we go. We just might shed a poor, ugly light on them if we're not facing God. When speaking of a church experience long before she was a pastor, a pastor shared later that it was a wondrous thing to stumble into the hands of the living God. Doesn't that sound awesome? She describes an experience of going to church when she wasn't sure if she should. And she said, I stumbled into the hands of a living God. It was a wondrous thing to stumble into the hands of the living God. I'm guessing we might all enjoy stumbling into the hands of the living God or resting in those hands, as long as we perceive God in the positive light. Now, I will admit, I'm a relatively young Christian. I've only been engaged in the Word for about 40 years, and I'm still trying to decipher the Word and understand its relevance and to figure out faith and God and how it all makes sense, and 40 years has not been long enough for me to get that figured out yet. So I keep studying, and through my studies and my continuous search of understanding, I keep asking questions like, why God? How God? What about God? Who, God? What if God? And every time I ask, I keep running into this idea that we were created in God's image, and therefore we are a reflection of God, bearing witness to the author, the creator of us, like it or not. In reading what we call the Old Testament, I find an angry God, one that's been deceived, one that loses faith in what they created, one that is to be wrestled with or feared. And yet I also find people, like we heard read today, people who were created in God's image, who are seeking God, who are giving thanks to God, who are looking for God's approval, who are praying to God, even people who are meeting up with God. The text from Exodus today was Moses speaking face-to-face with God in a tent that was set aside for them to speak face-to-face with each other. Just them. Yeah. And in that conversation, Moses hears God offer that God will be gracious and show mercy. If graciousness and mercy are attributes of God, then we too should reflect them. Then we got to the Second Chronicles reading, and we heard part of a prayer, a plea from Solomon, son of David, after he built and furnished the temple and God descended upon the temple. As he's dedicating the new temple for the future, he not only gives thanks for the past, but offers petition for the future and invokes God in God's majestic mystery to hear the power and and the prayer of all future prayers in that place. Not just the prayer of the day. He calls on God. And in that call, he implores God to share in God's goodness so that the faithful may rejoice. Be good, O God. It was a great act of faithfulness after such an enormous work on earth for God. But Solomon doesn't forget that the virtues of God are there, and we shouldn't forget them either, no matter what our trials or our delights. Then we read from Nehemiah, which we don't read from often, and in there we hear Ezra's prayer, right? It's a long prayer. It encompasses the whole middle of that book. But in that prayer, it's written, Ezra embraces this idea, recalling that God was ready to forgive them, to show that graciousness and mercy that we've heard about before, and to be slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Yeah. That's the God that we want to know, right? Recalling that God did not forsake the people, right? But Ezra says, God, you were loyal. You sustained them. Now, I don't know, friends, if that's an example of kindness or goodness or generosity or all of the above. But what a great reminder of what we're supposed to reflect. And then we take those accounts from the people, like the Jewish people did in Jesus' day, that God is ever present and always will be. And we turn with hope for enlightenment and the present day understanding of how we might live out this gift from the Holy Spirit. And we look at Jesus, right? Who better to look at than Jesus, right? And we're promised from Jesus' words, rest. The humble shepherd offers us rest. the people that found rest in the ancient God through the breath and life of the living Jesus couldn't hold it in. They shared it with others. As we end with Paul's writing to Timothy, that second letter, sometimes described as Paul's plea for Timothy to live out his sacred calling in the power of the Spirit with an unbanished commitment to the gospel's truth. Woo! Paul telling Timothy, you better live it out, right? We hear Paul say, be kindly to everyone, patient, gentle, so that they may come to know the truth. So that we might come to know the truth. Be patient, kind, and gentle to each other so we might come to know the truth of God, the experiences of the Holy Spirit, the attributes of God, but also those attributes which God has put in God's created. You, I could do that. You, right? You, right? And me. And as we live that out, we're to do so as generous people, not just with our treasure, but with all that we have within us and around us, all that sustained us or moved us as faithful people. We're to take care of what we have, to reduce, reuse, and recycle so that there's something left for the next generation. We're to be humble in our asking, not needing too much, but not forgetting the past and giving thanks to God for God's loyalty that continues. Indeed, the gift might come from the Holy Spirit. And we may call it one gift with 9 attributes, but they're all found in God. I pray this day that you and I may look to be and work to be a reflection of God in this world, embodying the fruit of the Spirit as we show kindness, offer gentleness, act with goodness, and participate in generosity in this church, in this community, in our relationships, and in this world. With God's help, may we all be watered and fed in such a way that our likeness reflects the fruit of the Spirit this day and always. Amen.